Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. It is Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined for our weekly Zeiss is Right video by Paul Zeiss, our Post-Gazette sports columnist. Paul, we took the week off last week so we could hop on the Steelers NFL draft live stream on postgazette.com. That was a lot of fun. But now we're back here in our usual Thursday slot. How are you?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. How about you?
Oh, I'm still recovering a little bit from the live stream. It was a lot of fun. To those of you who joined us down at Mike's Beer Bar, thanks for turning out. To those of you who watched, thanks for spending part of your draft night with us. We always appreciate that. We're going to talk some more NFL draft today. We're going to talk about where the Steelers' offensive line's maturity is going to go. How long is it going to take? Are they going to be good this season? Are they going to be good next season? And what's their potential? We're going to get into the wide receiver trade conversation a little bit. Obviously, that's been a big topic here coming out of the draft, so we're going to get Paul's thoughts on that. Maybe get into the cornerbacks a little bit. And, of course, we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates and how they are sputtering offensively and just where this franchise is right now about a month into this season. Before we do, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Paul, here's my question about what the Steelers did with Troy Fa'atanu, Zach Frazier, and I think even Mason McCormick to maybe a lesser degree. It's been a very popular draft. I think, you know, all of us agree that it gives them the chance to have a very foundational line for years to come, especially when you add Broderick Jones from last season to that mix. But how quickly do you think it's going to take for these guys, you know, to kind of get to a solid place? We saw Broderick Jones, you know, didn't really get into the starting lineup until, you know, October last season. There were good moments for him. There were bad moments for him. Do you think we could see, you know, a similar pattern with Troy Fa'atanu, Zach Frazier? Or do you think because those guys are a little bit older that they're going to have the ability to step in and be effective much more quickly than Broderick Jones did?
Well, I think they obviously, it's clear they drafted Zach Frazier because they need a center. I would say he's plug and play and he's going to start from day one. I don't think there's any question that, you know, from day one of OTAs and rookie mini camps and all the other stuff, he is going to be the starting center. That's why they drafted him. They drafted him because they thought he's ready to play right now. Troy Fa'atanu, or I can't even say the guy's last name.
Fa'atanu.
Troy Fa'atanu. I honestly think they will start the season like they did last year with the veteran playing and starting early on. And they'll bring him along slowly. And it will probably be a similar deal with respect to Broderick Jones last year, where eventually he takes over. And then you have, you know, him and Jones as your starting tackles. To me, I think it's a really stupid approach. I think it's a very short-sighted approach. I think it's a stubborn approach, and it makes no sense. If you drafted the guy because you think he's your tackle, make him your tackle. Well, I mean, why are you going to make a change in the middle of the season? It makes no sense. It's not like Dan Moore is like some superstar, great player that you have to, you know, you want him to start the season understanding he's the swing tackle. You want Troy to start the season understanding he's the right or the left tackle, and go from there. So if it were me, I would say both of those guys will start from day one, but I'm pretty sure knowing the way the Steelers do things, knowing the way they handled Broderick Jones, to me, Frazier will start from day one simply because they need him to. They really don't have another center. And I think that, Troy Fontenot will start the season on the bench and eventually take over for Dan Moore.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, especially even if they do both start, I think it's also a question of effectiveness and when do they start to reach their potential? When do they, I think more importantly, reach the point where their upgrades on Dan Moore and Mason Cole? I guess let's start with, at what point do you think they can be upgrades? Because I think that should be pretty soon, should be pretty early, give them the ability to make this offensive line better. But I also then question, I think it's probably going to take a year or two before they start to get to like Pro Bowl possible contending levels, don't you? And I think that's part of the I don't want to blunt any of the excitement because I think they were solid picks, but I think the idea that this offensive line is going to be a cohesive, much improved unit in 2024, I think, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I think that's a little bit of a hopeful outcome, don't you, Paul?
Well, obviously, when you're relying on rookies, obviously, yeah, you have no idea what you're going to get. I mean, all you can do is pick guys and hope they're good enough. Yeah, there'll probably be some growing pains, but I would be willing to bet that some of the growing pains will be mitigated by Arthur Smith's offense, which is an offensive line-friendly offense. I think some of that will help. I think the way they're going to play or the way they want to play will help. I don't know that they'll necessarily be dominant this year, but the bottom line is they needed a tackle. They needed a center. I mean, Zach Frazier can't be worse than Mason Cole. I just refuse to believe that. So to me, he's going to be an upgrade at some level. On some level, he's going to be an upgrade over what they had last year. And so, I feel like the line will be better. How much, I guess, will determine by, how quickly the rookies come along and get better. But at the end of the day, I thought that we saw the two guards, I thought, got better as the season went on last year. They're veteran guys, so I think they're going to be okay. And then you've got Broderick Jones, I thought, got a little better each week. The unit as a whole should take a step forward this year for sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a question of how far forward. I think especially in terms of Dan Moore Jr. Listen, he was one of the worst graded tackles in football. And the Steelers can say whatever they want about their level of belief in him, but he's not really versatile, which I think creates a problem. And why I think we'll see Troy Fautanu probably sooner than later, because you don't want to end up in a situation where you're playing Broderick Jones on the right because Dan Moore can only play on the left, and then you have to switch Broderick Jones to the left midstream. I think you want to start from the beginning, kind of giving Broderick Jones a chance to settle in at left tackle. So that's a problem with me for Dan Moore, and then just all the pressures he allowed was it was awful last season, and he got long, but still was one of the worst graded tackles. So I think the bar is pretty low for Troy Fautanu to kind of make things better. Last question on the line, Paul. Do you see Mason McCormick as a solution to their looming guard problem? Obviously, they're going to have James Daniels on an expiring contract this year, then Isaac Seumalo next season. Do you see McCormick as a guy, the fourth-round pick, who can kind of slide in and replace one of those guys eventually, or is he going to have to prove that he's more than a cheaper Nick Herbig to you?
Or neighbor. Well, I would say this. I don't think he's going to be a starter this year. I think he's a guy they drafted with next year in mind to take over for one of those guards that, one of those veteran guards that they'll be able to shed some salary and get a little younger. And everything I've read about him and everything I've heard about him, and I've talked to some coaches even that have, coached against him, and they've all said he certainly has what it takes to be an NFL guard. And so, again, he's a young guy. He's a rookie. I can't predict the future, whether he's going to be an all-pro or not, but he seems to have the right pedigree. He seems to have, all the boxes that you want checked. about, you know, work ethic and, you know, the football IQ and, you know, all the other stuff. I mean, it feels like he's got all of the necessary tools to be a really good NFL player, which means he's probably going to get that opportunity next year. And, you know, if you think about it, if he is able to be that guy, and now you're talking about four of your five offensive line spots being set for, I don't know, the next 8 to 10 years, that would be pretty impressive if you could pull that off. So obviously when you got three rookies, that are all at the same position, you know, offensive line, it's likely that you're going to miss on at least one of them. So we'll have to see how that happens. But if they hit on all three, that would be incredible.
Yeah, if they hit on all four, especially too with Broderick Jones, you know, I mean, that's quite a boon to their future, and it works. You know, that's, I think that's why this draft and last year's has been so popular, because you're building through the trenches. Paul, any thoughts on this ever ongoing wide receiver conversation? I think at some point last weekend we thought maybe this is done. You know, they can't give up any picks for 2024. But now there's been all kind of reports this week that it's still alive. Omar Khan's still cooking. Brian McFadden was on with your buddy Matt Cole over at The Fan, and suggested Terry McLaurin as a possibility. What do you think of Terry McLaurin and just the possibility that they're going to make a deal here still?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I mean, he's fine. Adam, I'm so beaten down by all of these reports. I mean, seriously, it's gotten to the point where every warm body who's ever played receiver in the NFL, even some that are dead, I think, have been linked to the Steelers. And yet here we sit talking about the same exact things. And the thing about, you know, with Brian McFadden, he said this and it went viral. And then it was like the Steelers are going to make a significant move. And then yesterday he clarified that this was like fourth-hand information from somebody that's not really even linked to the Steelers. So it's kind of like this has been a very, very, very interesting study in journalism, the reporting on the Steelers' pursuit of a receiver. Do I think they're going to make a splash move? Whether it's Terry McLaurin or, you know, Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel or I think Devontae Adams, his name was thrown in there a couple of days. Do I think they're going to go get one of those guys? Probably not. In fact, if I was a betting man, which I am, I would bet that they're not going to make a move like that. Though, you know, maybe they pick up another guy like what was my man from Jacksonville that just got cut? Zay Jones. Maybe they go get a guy like him. You know, add one more guy like that to their room. But, you know, I think that it's been so absurd to watch all of these reports about all of these guys they're going to sign or trade for, and not a single one of them, to me, I've seen very little evidence that there's anything more than a little bit of maybe smoke or, you know, coincidence or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I take the 49ers rumors as they unfolded relatively seriously. I'm sure the Steelers kicked the tires on that. But beyond that, I think a lot of these names are mostly fantasy. And I still look at – they were talking about Courtland Sutton here on North Shore Drive yesterday. That's the level of move I'm looking at. So I agree with you, Paul. I think they're going to do something. I think they have to do something. But I think the grandeur of the something has been overstated in a lot of places. Another possible free agent move, lineup move, is Cam Sutton. We know the Steelers met with him. There's no suggestion yet that that deal is kind of imminent, but they've kicked the tires there as well. Do you have any thoughts on bringing Cam Sutton back, Paul, before we move on to the Pirates?
I mean, I'm kind of indifferent to it. It feels like they already have Dante Jackson, who's a very similar player. They need to go get a corner, an outside corner is what they need. So if you're bringing in Cam Sutton, you know, because you want to bolster your depth, or, you know, you want to have somebody who's familiar with what you're doing on defense for some of your sub packages or whatever, okay, that's fine. But he doesn't solve what the problem they have. And the problem they have is that they need one more outside corner.
Yeah. I tend to agree. So I'll be curious to see how that situation unfolds. If they can get him on the cheap, you know, maybe it's a good idea to get him in the room just because you don't have to give up much to do it. But yeah, I could agree with you as well, Paul, that there could be duplication of roles there. Let's get into the Pirates. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up close and personal learning, a top ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News and World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Paul, let's talk about the Pirates, and let's talk about the fact that people seem to think that, like, Andy Haynes is the offensive coordinator of the Pirates, and that he's like he's like so deeply involved in what's gone wrong here, and that it's not an organizational failure, that O'Neill Cruz is not in a better place than he is, that Henry Davis is not in a better place than he is, than Jack Suwinski, Nick Gonzalez. You know, I know they say Nick Gonzalez is hitting well in AAA. I don't care how guys are hitting in AAA. I care what they hit in the big leagues. And when they get here, almost always the guys that Andy Haynes has been given to work with are unprepared for the big league level. Is that not the bigger problem? I'm not saying, you know, if you want to fire Andy Haynes, Paul, I'm not going to sit here and say, fine, you know, the body of work is what it is. If you want to fire him, fine. The idea that doing that is going to change anything in the Ben Cherington regime, that I think is flawed from top to bottom, and that's why the Pirates are where they are, that's how I look at it. It start with Andy Haynes, but it's got to go much deeper if you intend to turn things around here on the offensive side.
Well, the only way that you could really do it is if you fired Ben Cherington. Because the bottom line here is, it is, you know, an organizational failure, the way that these guys have developed. But it's been under Andy Haynes' watch. And, you know, he's the guy that sort of sets the philosophy. But it ain't his philosophy. It's Ben Cherington's philosophy that he's going to, that he's had to try and put together programs, you know, to basically adhere to that philosophy. Well, it's very clear system-wide that they're not developing as hitters, number one. Number two, this overall philosophy of we want to, you know, see as many pitches as possible and tire out pitchers. All you're doing is basically giving yourselves bad pitch counts, you know, because you're sitting there watching strikes, and now you're 1-2, 0-2, you know, you got two strikes. These guys, I would love to know how many times, percentage-wise, Pirates hitters have two strikes, because that's a big part of the problem too.
It's the worst little league coaches you ever saw, right? That tell the kids, just go up there and take walks, and then you keep walking around the bases and don't learn to play baseball, because we're going to win the game here when you're like 6 years old. I mean, it's the same dumb crap, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And I think but that starts with Ben Cherington. And so, you know, and I think there was no greater example of this. What was the Altoona hitting coach?
Nunley.
Nunley, right?
Yes.
Why did he get fired? Because he went outside the philosophy to help Ke'Bryan Hayes. You know, that tells me that it's not Andy Haynes. That tells me it starts at the top. And so if we're really going to talk about changing this, you almost have to start to have the discussion about whether or not Ben Cherington is the guy to, you know, to really get this team into the future. And that's a big part of the problem is you can change Andy Haynes and get rid of him. You can get rid of Omar or Oscar Marin. You can get rid of him. You can get rid of Shelton even. But, you know, you can change all the managers at the minor leagues. But as long as the same guy at the top is setting the tone for what he wants, what's, you know what I mean? What's gonna change in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, I agree. And I here's my concern, Paul, is that the reason that the Steelers or Pirates 20-year losing streak became a 20-year streak is because this deference to the idea, well, you got to give him time. You got to give him time. And we saw that fail multiple times. And I don't think people really think about it, but we're almost a decade removed from their last playoff appearance, Paul.
Yeah.
2015. This is 2024. It's almost been 10 years. If you blow things, the longer you wait to blow this up, Paul, the longer that event horizon might get pushed into the future. And I think that's, you know, people keep talking, comparing, like there's this one Pirates fan Twitter account that does a day-by-day comparison to the last year he did 2011, this year he does the 2012 Pirates. And I think there's a notion among some people that, well, the Pirates tanked before and it worked, and so it's going to work again. And there's not a whole lot of critical thought sometimes, I think, applied to the fact that, you know what happened before that thing worked with Neil Huntington was the Dave Littlefield era, where how many of those guys did we talk about come to the big league level with the same level of celebration? A lot of these guys, that young rotation of Paul Mahalem, Ian Snell, Zach Duke, they were going to be great, and then they weren't.
All right.
And sometimes it doesn't work, Paul. And at what point do the Pirates have to be willing to recognize that and say, listen, we have good players. They're underachieving under this general manager. Let's get someone else in here that can work with them and maybe salvage them before it's too late.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. I really believe, for instance, that O'Neill Cruz should be further ahead than he is. I know he got injured, but he should be further ahead than he is. You know, Henry Davis is a train wreck. I don't know what he's doing out there. He looks like somebody that they didn't draft 1-1 for sure, because if they drafted him 1-1, you would think that he'd be far further along in his development. You know, I think there are good players here, you know, but part of it is, what are they going to do with these good players? And it comes down to, they have not done a good job of developing any of them.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, how long are you going to stick with this? Let me ask the question this way, Paul. If this extends into June, this extends into July, and they, you know, maybe they even out a little bit. I don't think they're going to play like 5-15 baseball. You know, I think there's going to be some middle ground between where they started and how they're playing now. But let's just say they're a 3-4-5-6 game under 500 team into July. Do you stick with Ben Cherington into the trade deadline? Do you give him a chance to commit a Chris Archer level disaster out of desperation to keep his job, especially because there's so many guys in that category now, Paul, that Austin Meadows was in, that Tyler Glasnow was in, where, you know, contractually they're going to have to make decisions, and it's a very possible they could trade a number of guys here, Paul, and end up having egg on their face because, you know, Ben Cherington was just trying to keep his job. Do you let Ben Cherington, if you've lost faith in him before the trade deadline, do you let him manage the trade deadline, or do you pull a Cam Bonifay in midseason replace him?
I would probably let him get through this season, but at the end of the season, I would evaluate it. And you know, things don't look like the arrow is legitimately pointing up. And I don't mean fake pointing up. I mean, legitimately pointing up, then you have to replace him. You have to replace the entire the entire lot. You know, unfortunately, if you clean him out, you probably got to clean out Shelton and everybody else underneath him that he brought with him. And that means you're starting over in some ways, but that might be the best thing you can do. So I just look at it. I say, you do what you can do. You do the best you can possibly do this year. In-season changes don't really do all that much for me, because generally when you get to the point in baseball where you have in-season changes, unless it's like, was it Washington a few years ago that made a managerial change and ended up, it sparked them and they ended up actually winning the World Series, I think, if I'm not mistaken. One of the teams did that. But for the most part, if they're going to get to a point where they're going to make an in-season change, the season probably is lost already anyway. So
yeah, but do you worry that Ben Cherington could make a desperate move that sets them back in the same way Archer did? Because that'd be my argument. Yeah. I understand it's not going to make things better this season. I agree with you, but if things are in the direction, I don't personally want to see him making any trades.
I get it. I don't worry about that as much because Bob Nutting would have to sign off on anything, and I just don't know that he's going to allow them to pull a trigger like that, you know, after what happened with the Archer deal. So I don't worry about that. I know this. I'm going to write about this. If I were the king of the Pirates, my lineup tomorrow, my lineup Friday against Colorado, I would have Jiwon Bae leading off playing center field. And then I would have Connor Joe playing right field, batting second. I would have Ke'Bryan Hayes batting third, playing third base. Brian Reynolds batting fourth, playing left field. And then I would have batting fifth, O'Neill Cruz at shortstop. Batting sixth, Jake Lamb at first base. Batting seventh, Nick Gonzalez at second base. Batting eighth, Grandal as catcher, and McCutcheon batting ninth at designated hitter. That would be my lineup. And in order to make that happen, it means you have to send Henry Davis back down. You'd have to probably send Sawinski back down. Maybe somebody like Aliko Williams back down. And then DFA Roddy Tellez. That's what I would do. And if you're not doing something that radical, you're not trying to win.
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the top, I'm skeptical of minor league batting averages. I've seen these guys put up numbers at the lower levels of, you know, the organization.
I'm not saying that they're going to come up and be stars. All I'm saying is they can't be worse.
Yeah,
I agree. They can't be worse. And maybe Nick Gonzalez figured out whatever he struggled with last year. Maybe he's figured it out. He comes up and I just know Triola's not good enough. Tellez is not good enough. You know, Henry Davis is lost. I just know that those are the things. Sawinski, I'm not even sure. I mean, I don't know if he forgot how to hit or what. Send him back down, let him work on his swing or whatever he needs to do. So my point is, I'm looking at the guys that I'm saying, these guys they have are not good enough. So let's find out if there's a couple of other guys in the organization that might be.
Yeah, I think Jared Triola was a case of people getting high on their own supply when he was hitting well in September. Almost nothing that happens in September really matters to me or should matter. And he got a starting spot, I think, because of what he did last September. But it's probably time to end that experiment. Paul, it's going to be interesting to see if they make any of the changes that you're suggesting. So stay tuned to see what happens on Friday. Any final thoughts, Paul, before we sign off for the week?
Yeah, then Sunday my starting pitcher would be Paul Skeens.
I agree with that.
Let's talk about that too, right? Bring him up. It's time. What are we doing now? We're going to waste 85 more pitches, you know, him blowing away minor leaguers? What are we doing here? He's going to have a very, very, very – he has a very, very, very definitive pitch count this year. There's no question. He's going to be on a really strict program. Can you agree with that, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's not waste 80 more pitches or 70 more pitches or 50 more pitches or whatever with him blowing away a bunch of guys who are completely overmatched. We've seen he can do that. We don't need to see anything more. It's time. So that's the other move I would make.
Yeah, I agree. I still think it's probably going to be another week, but I agree that it's time. It's probably been time, Paul, just given the way that they've been going. But thanks for chatting with me this week. Everyone, make sure you stay tuned to the YouTube channel. We're going to have Christopher Carter back with the North Shore Drive on Friday. A lot more NFL draft talk. Make sure you like this video if you enjoyed it. Help us out with the YouTube algorithm, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.